Japan 2.0.
Tell me when you want to go.
You see me on your television, you hear me on your radio. You like it where your eyes,
but tell me when you want to go.
Japan 2.0.
Tell me when you want to go.
2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2. today from high up in Osaka, one of our favorite recording spots.
Yeah, in the Lukua building.
In the Lukua building. This is officially the start of our second season. What does that mean, Matt?
Well, we've made the move from SoundCloud to a new RSS feed, or RSS feed.
Yeah.
And so our podcast is coming at you with all of our archives, and so you could go back and listen to our old episodes, and you could also listen to our episodes at Japan 2.0 at WordPress.com.
Yep. So we'll have a blog there. That's new. We didn't have a blog before, and basically we'll just be writing our articles there as opposed to Facebook, and we'll be linking them to Facebook. So that's good for like anti-Facebook people out there, and. Yeah, basically we've recorded an intro episode already, back with our first season on our old RSS feed, which is just Japan 2.0, but now we're at Japan 2.0-Japanese Subculture, and this is probably like just a deeper introduction, looking through one lens how we learned about Japan, maybe before we lived out here, or just the way we connected with Japan, for me, early on, about 10 years ago, and even to this day.
Well, I think for me, yeah, Japanese, like, podcasts about Japan have been...
That's the topic.
That's the topic
yeah,
today.
Yeah.
Have been so integral. I mean, it's been one of the biggest influences on me because...
That's how I got into podcasting. Yeah. The very first podcast I listened to.
There wouldn't be a Japan 2.0 if there weren't, you know, dozens of these other podcasts that are really great, you know? And so we're going to tell you a little bit about, you know, our podcast and what our podcast is about, but we're also going to talk about some of our favorite podcasts that cover Japanese culture or Japanese video games. I mean,
yeah, I think indirectly through us just talking about these things and what we're interested in, how it shaped us, you know, without us coming out like we did last time directly and saying, hey, here's our past, you know, I'm just going to learn through our experiences.
Yeah, so really quickly, we should reintroduce ourselves. So I'm Matt.
I'm David.
Yeah, and we both live in Japan. Right now we're in Osaka. That's my neck of the woods.
Yep, and I'm from neighboring Kobe. And I guess we're somewhat unique in that a lot of other podcasts out there are definitely coming at you with a Kanto or Tokyo slant, where the lens that we see everything through is a Kansai lens, which is the western side of Japan. So there isn't really a whole lot of English information out there that focuses on Kansai.
Yeah, that being said, though, it's not exclusive to Kansai, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of things we cover are very general and broad topics.
And
so,
we love Tokyo. I do, for sure. We have a whole episode about Tokyo that you'll be seeing soon in our archive.
Right. And I think all of our topics, you could take the information we have here if you're going to visit Tokyo and still have a great experience and learn something about Tokyo or just learn something about Japanese culture in general.
Hopefully we can convince you or kind of sway you, maybe if you're traveling or just even if you live here, to come out to our neck of the woods as well.
Well, a lot of the podcasts I've been listening to have been saying, like, at least for used video games and things, like
Osaka's better.
Osaka's blowing up, yeah.
In terms of Denden Town, Nippon Bashi. We did an episode about that.
Food in Kobe, like, you know, there's a lot of
European foods
in Kobe. And Kyoto is also, like, probably in our record store episode, we said that's our favorite place to buy records.
Yeah, I love Kyoto. We'll have to do a whole episode about Kyoto, I think.
Yeah.
In the future. But, we span really detailed topics, like just talking about one street in the underground of Kobe, Motoko Town, to kind of really broad, general record shopping, or just Tokyo as a whole city, or we're going to do episodes just like Japanese food. So our episodes are pretty various.
Yeah, and we're bi-weekly, so, you know, you take 1 week, we take 1 week off, and then we bring you another episode. If you listen to some of the podcasts that we're going to mention, one of them falls on the week that we're not on, so and if you like
to tell you how influential that podcast was on us when we were creating the genesis of Japan 2.0, we specifically said, hey, we love this other podcast, let's give us something to do in the off week and have our own show.
I'll wait to the second segment to mention what to reveal what the podcast is. Yeah. So if you know a lot about Japanese podcasts, you could guess which podcast it is.
Sure. I want to hit on one other thing, which is always an issue for me, and I don't know if I've ever told you about it, Matt, but like I sometimes worry about, I like parts of our show and that I think that anyone would like it, even if you don't live in Japan or you haven't been interested in Japan. I don't know how you defined us, but let's say you found us. I just think things talking like convenience stores or hacks, Japan 2.0 hacks, or these know your chains and franchises, just seeing the differences between your home country and Japan would be interested to anybody. And I sometimes get worried about, like, when we do record shopping or video games, that it might turn off some people, you know, or they might not be that interested in it. And I guess one thing I'd like to tell you is, even if we do have those episodes and maybe you're going to fast forward through some of those parts, I'd say, like, always listen to the intro. And, like, about halfway through, we always do a segment, which is usually not on theme with that topic. For example, today's one is going to be called Japan Myths. And we're going to either bust myths about Japan or kind of...
prove a myth.
Prove a myth is actually true. And, yeah, those are just interesting cultural things. So I always try to put in every episode, even if it's a really niche audience, the overall like thesis of the episode, I always try to have some things in there that I think just general people could, at least maybe you don't listen to the whole thing, but you can at least get some value out of it.
I think in our intro episode too, we mentioned we're not by any means experts on you know, anything in particular. I mean, we both have hobbies and things that we, you know, we're very knowledgeable about. But neither of us speak Japanese. I'm taking Japanese lessons and some, but I mean, you take, I mean, everything we talk about, you know, is very sincere, you know, and we have opinions and we're sharing our opinions.
Yeah.
But I mean, once again, there's people out there, I'm sure, that have more knowledge than us, but I mean, I think we're going to try to bring you topics and subjects that maybe other people don't talk about that often.
Yeah, the reason we're called Japan 2.0 is that, I guess, in theory, like, we hope to not cover robots and sushi, and we love all that stuff, but to go a little bit further, cover topics that we just haven't seen a lot, and I think we have done some topics, like the convenience store one, that, yeah, like, people talk about that, but I felt like we covered it in depth, like, really broke it down, you know, and so sometimes we will cover kind of general or very popular Japanese topics, but we hope to kind of go a step further, at least with personal anecdotes and personal experience. We always try, you know, to get do a little research and stuff, but we'll have some special episodes where we really do a lot of research, but other times it's pretty anecdotal.
I think a lot of episodes of our favorite podcast touch on some of the same things, like convenience stores, but usually it's in relationship to like whatever they're doing in their day, and so like it might just be a mention.
It's
yeah,
a side story where we'll take these kind of, I don't know, tangents and just run with the whole episode, you know?
Yeah, we try to stay on theme. I mean, we might take a slight tangent here and there, but yeah, we try to stay pretty focused.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes us different. And like, for example, our convenience store episode, we decided to rank like our favorite convenience stores, and we—I mean, I don't think I've ever heard anybody spend that much time dedicated to convenience stores.
I have like, so I have friends who obviously speak Japanese, and like I have, we should do like a correction episode almost. Or, we have a friend Julie who listens, and she talks about like her live concert experience is really different from our own, you know. And I always want to get like other perspectives on there. Emily, for example, wanted to get on and get Japanese beer, so I hope to bring like maybe a female perspective this season would be pretty cool too.
That'd be awesome.
And we got people who we can do, we just need to arrange it.
Yeah,
but I don't know, I don't like talking about ourselves too much, feels awkward, but,
well, I just want to say, yeah, the last thing I wanted to say was that when David came to me and he said he's ready to do a podcast again, originally, I kind of was nervous to do a podcast about Japanese culture. Before we had a podcast together called Two Crude Mon Dudes, which was a Korean subculture podcast. And I was really comfortable doing that podcast because there wasn't anything like it.
I think there's only like two other soul-based podcasts that I knew of, and they're pretty mainstream English teacher-heavy conversation.
Yeah, and really it was David's enthusiasm that got me excited again about podcasting. I thought, well, I don't know what I could really bring to a Japanese podcast. Everything's been covered, right? But now that we've been doing it for about, I guess we're like 10, 11 episodes in, I feel like we really do bring our own spin on things that either have been covered or have never been covered before, and we keep unearthing new topics and new places to talk about that I've never heard about, other than our experiences with them.
Yeah, well, I think it's that we're still relatively new to Japan. I mean, 2 and 3 years, it's still kind of new, and I think hopefully we capture that excitement of we're still finding out new things, you know, that we love, and I've lived here for 3 years, how have I not found out about this? So I think that just shows what a cool, deep place Japan is, you know?
And there's still a lot to discover. Yeah. I find, like, every time I go out on a day excursion, you know, just get out of my neighborhood, or I go around a block, I find something new, or I learn something new. You know, there's a lot of rich culture in this country, and, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why we were both gravitated towards this culture, you know?
I always remember in our old show, we did a favorite thing about Korea. That was our only segment. We just did the same segment every time. And one of mine was alleyways. And I remember Matt saying, like, when you choose to go down what looks like a dead end in Korea, like, 9 times out of 10, it is a dead end. And when you do get that one that pays off, it is so sweet. But I remember him relating it to Japan and just saying, like, oh, man, but in Japan, when you go down an alleyway, like, you got a 50% chance of finding something amazing or awesome down there. And I think that's kind of a good metaphor or analogy, you know, to not just exploring a city and going down alleys, but, you know, just Japanese culture in general, that there are all these little small little niches or subcultures, and you could just spend your whole life getting into that. And I don't know, we kind of just dip our fingers into some and go a little bit deeper with others, but... yeah, there's a lot to explore. I can only imagine if we ever do learn Japanese, how awesome and much further that would go, you know?
Yeah, well, let's try our best. Ganbari masho.
No promises from me. anyway, I think it's time for our segment, so let's have a break.
And then when we come back, yeah.
Get ready, yeah, to listen all about the Japanese podcasts that we love or that influenced us into who we are as podcasters about Japan.
Can't wait.
See ya.
We're back.
And what's the segment called, Matt?
This is Japan Myths.
I think last season, we confirmed a myth. You know, we said this myth is actually true about Japan. I don't remember what it was, but...
was it toilets? Is that my thing about toilets? Yeah.
If you're a true fan, let us know. Comment below and remind us. Matt and I have horrible memories, if you haven't figured out already. That's why we're friends, I think, because we can just retell the old same stories and then get excited about them over and over again. But... this is about haircuts, and for me, I'll talk about it later, but Guzin Radio or Guzin Media was the very, very first, not only Japanese podcast I listened to, but just podcasts in general. It was back with just streaming radio. It was called, like, Live 365 was a service, and he talked about haircuts and how you could bring in this little piece of paper, like, mark things off on there about the back length and the side length, and that, or you show a picture, and the haircut they give you looks exactly like the picture, like a 10 out of 10. And they gave a big disclaimer, and the guy said, you know, it's really expensive, you're going to pay $50, but you're going to get the best haircut of your life. So, the best haircut of your life, that's a pretty high expectation. I'll give that, like, it's hard to meet those expectations, but I'm going to have to bust this myth. And for me, the haircuts here aren't that great. I mean, not even considering the price, I think compared to the States, probably similar. Maybe, to be honest, I think I've had better haircuts in the States, and they're half the price, you know? They're not horrible here, and I've gone around to a couple different places, but they're just generally not that great. I guess I've lived in Korea and the U.S. and here, and they're probably the worst.
Well, so you've been here a little while, and you've probably had more haircuts than I have, because I grew my hair pretty long last time, and I didn't do anything to it. Mm. But what would you say the average price is?
Average price, $40, and that's just like the average. If you want to go to a good place, it's going to be $60. If you want to go to a cheap place, like 10 or 15. And I will say, not only because we're friends, but our friend Julie's husband is a haircutter. He charges 10 or 15 bucks, and yeah, it's good. I mean, it's 10 or 15 bucks, but it's a place just to like get a trim, you know, there's no wash or things like that.
Right.
So yeah, that's really cool.
So for the salon experience, expect to pay about $60 US,
yeah,
or
and
about,
I mean,
6,000
like,
yen.
Back home, I didn't go to a salon, I guess we should say that. Like, it's not like I'm a salon kind of guy or anything. It's just really all there kind of is here. Unless you're going bald, then you go to a barbershop. Honestly, right?
Well, I mean, there's the old guys in my
bald
neighborhood.
That's what
I mean, there's
said.
A really big...
Yeah. But... Yeah, like the general places are these kind of fancy places, and you're going to pay $50, and it takes a long time, an hour and a half.
Yeah,
sometimes.
It does take a long time.
Even if you got short hair. And I don't know, like, yeah, it's just all right. They always seem to, like, leave some long hairs, and I would just think it's me and my wife, but then I heard you say today that you felt some hairs are shorter and longer, and that always seems to happen to me.
Yeah, I will say the best haircut I've had was... in Osaka, in the place you recommended.
That's in your life or just
well,
in Japan?
Well, here in Japan,
okay,
yeah. Yeah. And that was about, I think I had a discount, but it usually is about $60
yeah,
or 6,000 yen.
And that's the best place I've been to as
yeah.
well. I got my hair colored there, like bleached, and it was, the regular price is $200 to get a bleach, but because I was like a first-time customer, I want to say it was around 150, which is pretty high if your hair, I don't have hair that was that long at the time.
Yeah.
But
all the other haircuts I've had have been, yeah, I mean, like you said, they've missed like little spots or one thing I've noticed here in Japan is like cutting around the ears.
Yeah.
They oftentimes don't do it really cleanly. And yeah. I mean, some people don't want it that way, but I kind of prefer like a more clean cut around the ears.
Yeah.
That way your haircut lasts a little bit longer. I like it when my hair grows out a little bit.
Yeah. I guess I should say, like, we should give some disclaimers, which is that our hair is different from Japanese people's hair. So, yeah, maybe if you have Asian hair, you know, like, maybe that cuts better. I guess it's, for me, yeah, a foreigner sold it as the best haircut. Although, now that I'm thinking of it, that guy does usually shave his head. So, maybe I shouldn't have listened to him. But, no, he had, like, students that he would host, young kids from Australia, and they would all say it was good, too.
I've heard about people who go to, and they get, like, the hot towel on their face,
yeah,
and
yeah.
And they sit in a chair as their head's getting shampooed, they get a massage. I've had that in moderation here.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
me too.
So I mean, in that way, it's a little bit better than it has been in the States.
Yeah, I think everything's relative. We come from Korea, where you'll pay $20,
$30.
And you got like 3 to 4 people on you. Like you got someone just dusting your face off the hair. You got someone holding a shield on your face.
The interns come and they give you magazines and tea and stuff.
Coffee and cookies and the head massages there. Like they last a long time and it's good. And it's $20. And I will say I probably have had the worst haircuts of my life in Korea. But I also had the best haircuts of my life in Korea too. I did live there for like 5 years, so I lived there a little bit longer, but yeah, eventually you find your place, you know, and man, yeah, it's really, really good there.
I do think that here in Japan, I've gone to the same people a number of times and they've all been, I mean, they've all been done good jobs, I feel, but I think you really do need to find that person who can cut your hair, you know, that one person that you could go to over and over. And I think that it's really difficult. I guess barbers are kind of like doctors, you know?
Mm.
If you go to just one all the time, you don't know, like, how good a doctor can be, right?
Yeah.
That's like a barber. You go, if you don't shop around and find the one that's really good, you might miss out on, like, somebody who's really good at cutting hair.
One more thing. Yeah, I feel I'm not very good at being critical. Like, I feel bad. But, so I also want to say, like, I'm feel limited by going to people who can speak English, and maybe, yeah, like you're just getting like this 1% who can speak English, and maybe their skill isn't that high, you know. Or if I could choose any place and just go there, then it wouldn't be. Maybe I could get a better haircut. Yeah. So I'm not like unhopeful. I'll report back to you on my future haircuts. I'm always looking for new places, and I haven't gone to a place where like I didn't have someone translating or something, you know. So maybe I'll just get bold and just go to a Japanese place and bring a photo. And,
but as of right now, myth busted.
As of right now, myth busted. Yeah, haircuts in Japan, expensive, and just all right.
All right. Yeah. Well, this was Japanese Myths, and yeah, we'll be right back with our favorite podcast about Japan.
Hope you enjoyed the music. We like bringing in the music every season. We gotta get better at importing our vinyl.
Yeah,
I've been cheating a lot, so, and I just rip them off YouTube.
Yeah, my vinyl. I have a record player that does have a USB out, but the quality's kind of crappy. We plan on doing a real music-centric episode soon, and
I might use surprises there for that.
Yeah, I might use some of my ripped vinyl. So. If it's something rare. So, but yeah, I wish I had a better way of doing it.
Yeah. So, Japanese podcast, that's what we're here to talk. We got a lot to talk about.
And we have a lot of influences.
What's your earliest one? Why don't you start there?
Oh, man, my earliest Japanese podcast.
First Japanese podcast you ever heard.
Well, I started listening to a podcast. It wasn't Japanese-centric, but it did cover some Japanese topics. It was a video game podcast, and I can't remember the name of it, but I remember the guy's name was DJ Sexy Lips. I don't know why he called himself
that's memorable, isn't it?
Yeah. But he even shouted my name out and stuff because I wrote him once, and so it was pretty cool. But it wasn't really like Japanese-centric, but he would talk about a little bit about the Japanese composers. It wasn't in detail, you know, but I suppose that was the first one that had a lot of like Japanese references and stuff in it.
You don't remember the name?
If it comes back to me.
All right.
But that's my earliest one. All right.
So mine will connect to our segment, which is Guzin Radio, and then they changed their name to Guzin Media. And it's run by this guy named Chaz from Virginia.
What is Guzin?
It means by chance.
Oh, by chance.
So something's goozing. It's like, I guess, kind of happenstance or chance. And his big tagline, or like his like thesis of the show, was daily life in Japan. And to be honest, I kind of felt I ripped that off with Tukurimandus and now this show too, which, yeah, it's subculture, but we also really talk about small nuances a lot. And he did a great job at that. He was a high school teacher. He still is out in Shizuoka. And he always had these Australian students coming in and staying for like a year, so you get their fresh perspective as well. And they would just talk about the most simple things, like traffic lights in Japan for 20 minutes, you know, or like the mirrors that are in the road. And again, I felt that I'd reached everything. I'd read about all the normal zany, wacky Japanese stuff, and I wanted to be in Japan, but I couldn't, you know. I was 18, 19 at the time. I didn't have any money or way out here. And that just filled that, quench that thirst. And I remember just going around telling people, like, hey, did you guys know in Japan you can get like sushi and it's like on this conveyor belt? And like constantly just going around telling my friends and my girlfriend that, and they just didn't want to hear it anymore.
No one cared.
I just got on everyone's nerves, and I don't know if I've ever been as passionate about anything as I was about Japan while listening to that podcast. And that went on for like 4 or 5 years. I listened to that show from like, so this is 10 years ago or so, and I still to this day is like one of the most influential things in my life. It taught me that you could teach ELL in general, which I ended up doing in Korea, actually. I've written the guy, you know, like really nice guy. So go out, you can find some old archives of that. And
does he still do it?
He does not still do it. He was putting stuff out like once a year for a while, you know, like I'm coming back. And then I don't think he ever really did. Yeah. I think him not having the exchange students, those are like his best episodes, you know. And I think those kids stopped coming over or something. So, but it's been cool for me to like follow those kids. They're like 35 years old now, you know, wow. Like have real jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, that to me is starting off strong. That's definitely a big, big one. That one was awesome.
All right. Well, one podcast that I've been listening to a lot lately is the History of Japan podcast.
Mm. So this is a current one.
Yeah, it's a current one. It's still going. The guy is like a PhD student, I believe, and his name's Isaac Mayer.
Okay.
And he just talks about Japanese history. You know, he goes way back to like the earliest. You know, the earliest writings about Japan, you know, from like Chinese scholars and Korean texts and stuff like that. Yeah. And then he goes into all of the Edo period, the Meiji period, you know, like in up to, everything I've heard has gone up to like World War II and a little bit into like 80s politics and stuff like that. I'm looking forward to a 90s episode.
Yeah, that's our favorite.
So I'll have to ask him if send him an email or something and suggest it if he hasn't done it already. I'm trying to catch up on all the episodes. I went back all the way to the beginning.
He's doing Samurai right now, right?
Yeah, I think now it's a little more topical.
Mm.
At first he kind of did the broad outline,
yeah.
And now it's it just things that he's interested in. I will say his voice can be a little monotone. Like,
some people like to go to sleep to podcasts, so it might be good.
But I think if you get over that, like, he is really interesting, and he has a bit of a sarcastic sense of humor that comes through every once in a while.
Mm.
So, and he is really knowledgeable. I mean, you could tell he's a person who's dedicated his life to studying Japanese, Japanese history, so... I highly recommend that podcast if you want to learn a little bit about Japan's past. It's really great when I'm walking to work and I hear, like, he mentions neighborhoods that I'm in as I'm going to work. And I'm like, wow. It's modern day Osaka, like, you know, the Shinsekai and stuff. And I'm like, wow, that's like where I am right now.
That's cool. I recommend a YouTube video called A Brief History of Japan if you haven't seen that one. It's about 7 minutes long, and it ends with Dragon Ball Z or something like that. But it starts off, it's like 2,000 years of Japanese history up to now, and it's really fast, obviously, and it's pretty funny.
Oh, that sounds good, too.
Check that out.
If you want to go in a little more depth,
History of Japan podcast.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm doing a chronological order. A couple of years after Guzin, I was always trying to search. You know, there's nothing else out there. Again, there weren't even podcasts out. Once podcasts kind of caught on... there was this guy who had a bit of buzz in the podcast world, and his name is a great podcast name, which is Hiro from Japan.com. So the L's and R's are switched around, classic. And this guy's name is Rich Pav. I'm still friends with him on Mitomo. And he's a really interesting guy. He was a salaryman in Tokyo, but his family lived like an hour and a half or 2 hours outside, and he would commute every day. Sometimes he'd stay at hotels in Tokyo. But he was kind of a disgruntled salaryman. That's how I describe him. He's from, like, Pennsylvania, I think. And kind of borderline depressed. And one of those people you start to just feel like you know them, you know, is very cathartic in his talking. He did this thing called binaural recording. I probably butchered that name. But basically, he'd wear earbuds that had microphones on them on the outside. And he'd just walk around Tokyo and just give you like a 360 sound. So if you had headphones in, you're getting the left and the rights, you know, and it just hearing the subway sounds. He'd walk in the pachinko parlor. He'd do some videos even back then. And Japanese bug fighting, I learned about through him. There's these crazy rolly slides in Japan that are really long. They look like they're in an amusement park, but they're just free at parks.
Yeah, we did one recently.
We just did one. We finally found one. And that, my knowledge of that was based off this guy's videos, and it's the first I've actually seen living out here. So again, just really small nuances, you know. That's the stuff I love about Japan. I took a podcasting class back in undergrad, and I played one of his videos, you know, for the class, and no one was really into it, of course. But that guy, he's been cool to kind of follow, and he actually turned into an English teacher now after being a salaryman, and usually people go the other way around, and he's much happier, it sounds like, and he does a podcast. But yeah, I definitely recommend going back like 5, 6, 7 years ago and listen to that stuff. That's really, really unique insight. Again, even if you don't like Japan, just hear about a man's struggles in the working world.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and listen to some of those.
Yeah. How about you? What's next?
All right, well, I'm going to get into some that we both share, I mean, are both very important to us. And one that was one of my biggest influences, at least with this podcast, is one called Neo-Japanism. Mm. And the main guy, David Marks, he's written a book, and you read the book.
Ame Tora, which is like American Ivy League clothing's influence on Japanese fashion.
Yeah, and I mean, the great thing about their blog and podcast was that they covered a lot of topics that were about, like, how Japan was changing, or how the music industry was changing.
It's pretty critical of you.
It's a critical view, but
it's incredibly well researched, like nothing else, so you can't really argue it.
Yeah, and some of the guests are like famous, are at least famous in our circles, like bloggers and stuff, like
Patrick Marcias.
Matt Alt, famous for doing the Dragon Quest VIII translation. Yeah.
And they do a lot of yokai stuff, books and stuff too.
Yeah. And I mean, all interesting guys to follow. Mm. Their podcast is finished. They don't do it anymore.
They did maybe, what, 6 episodes in total?
It seems like they did, like, yeah, 1 year of podcasting, and that was about it.
And I think only 4 of those 6 are still alive.
Yeah.
But
there are quite a few on there. I've been downloading them just to have them archived.
Yeah,
but
Martians Go Home and that stuff doesn't count.
There are those. Yeah, like Flipper's Guitar.
But great mixtape, Audrey Hepburn Complex.
Hepburn Complex is on there, and some of their mixtapes are down too. But that one, and then Electricity, is another one, good one. It has like Pico Pop and avant garde pop music.
Never listened to like one podcast episode over and over and over again, except for those ones. There's one called Donkatsu Tapes, and that's just them sitting down eating donkatsu, talking about, I think, a lot about Harajuku's decline. There's one other.
The Citrus episode. Citrus is a Japanese punk rock group, yeah. I guess. They might be considered hip-hop rock group.
Go back, listen to our archives. We feature them in one episode. Yeah.
They're really hard to categorize, but that episode is fascinating. Yeah. And I, every time I listen to it, I'm just more hyped to listen to Citrus's music.
I listened to it. I told you about it. And you know, like when you show a friend something and they start getting into it, it's like you getting into it for the first time again. You see it through their eyes. I remember giving it to you. And I was in Tokyo, actually, at the time, at a horrible, horrible guest house, and it was so loud in the dorm room that you were, like, just listening to it. I'm like, I'm going to listen to it at the same time as I sent you the link so I can experience it with you. And that was actually even better than my first listen. Like, I just remember sitting there, being in Tokyo, listening to that, and just being like, oh, man, this is so good.
Yeah, that site and that podcast was one of the best gifts ever, man.
I still go back to it all the time just because there's nothing else that covers that information. If you want to know about Shibuya K, graphic design, fashion, it's the place.
They did a couple of YouTube videos too, where they taste some like weird stuff. beers and stuff. So
and
that kind of has been an influence on us as well.
Their blog though is a strong point. The podcasts are good, you know, but it's more of a blog than it is a podcast. Yeah.
They're really into typography.
Yep, that's the least interesting stuff.
All the other articles are really great. There's an article about Cornelius, so if you like the same kind of music we like too, I highly recommend that. Yep. That it's a great read. So that's Neo-Japanism.
Yep. All right, I'm gonna talk about one that's dead, but maybe someone's heard it before and they know about it. It was called Josh in Japan, and I'm not even totally sure that's the correct name. But
Josh in Japan.
He was a U.S. military guy, which is usually a demographic I don't connect with. Living in Yokosuka, and he recorded about 30 or 40 episodes, and he was just very, like, salt of the earth, the opposite of Neo-Japanism, you know, anecdotal, just living the life, not researched, not PC, but, like, so just sincere, and this southern guy from Florida who just fell in love with Japan unexpectedly, you know, and his excitement of finding out a lot of these things, and just, like, me being there with him, you know, was awesome. I remember like Yoshinoya, the gyudon restaurant, I learned about through him, and it was during the time of the mad cow scare, and so they had to change all the beef to pork, and he's just talking about that, and yeah, I just, what's gyudon, what's beef bowl, like, you know, I had to learn go search all these things, you know, and find them out. I remember he had a house and he wasn't an English teacher and lived in a Japanese neighborhood and his Japanese is pretty bad. And yeah, just feeling like, I guess, learning with the guy or growing with him, you know, he wasn't perfect, or maybe we have a small part of that in us, you know, where just kind of living the life.
And I feel that way all the time.
Living the life and telling the story about it.
Yeah.
So maybe you can find Josh in Japan and, that's,
if you're Josh in Japan, please contact us.
Maybe listen to us. he went back. He had to go back to Florida. And he tried doing the show from there, but I think he knew it wasn't that great. And after a couple episodes, he just stopped.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
When you're not in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds really cool.
Should we end on our mutual favorite? Do you have any other?
Yeah. I'm at the one that, like, I think has meant the most to us. I think. It's a podcast that is about a specific topic.
Yep.
It's about video games, Japanese video games, and it's by a translation company. Mm. They localize games for the United States or Europe, I'm assuming.
And the other way around as well.
Yeah, and they've taken some English games in English and have changed it to Japanese and released it here. And the name of the podcast is called the 8-4 Play Podcast.
Yep, it's 8-4. We both have dashes in our names.
So. Yeah. And I think this might be the one podcast where you didn't really... I think I found this one on my own.
I think you told me about it.
Was that how it went? I don't remember if we were listening to it.
It was either at the same time or...
Yeah, and... It was a lot of guys from EGM, which is a video game magazine we used to listen to, and they've opened up a localizing company in Tokyo Towers.
Yeah.
And they just cover, it is video game centric. So every episode they talk a lot about video games. If that's not your thing, you know, then you might not dig it.
I would say in the first 10 minutes, they usually just talk about topical Japanese stuff, and I share that part with my wife a lot. I'll play certain things for her. I'd be like, can you believe they know this? Like, something I thought only Liz and I liked, you know, that they'll know too. Or,
yeah.
So there are like 2% of it, but it's always in the beginning.
Sometimes in the center and stuff, they'll go on a tangent, and they'll talk about, like, you know, funerals or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's a really great podcast. It's well produced. Mark McDonald is the host, and he's always fun to listen to.
He's great.
The other guys, JJ Epperson and John Riccardi, are knowledgeable. Ricciardi, is that which one is correct?
Ricciardi.
And they're really knowledgeable about the state of Japanese video games. Mm. And even though they started when Japanese video games were on the decline, they were able
to bring some life into it where no one else is really doing, you know?
Right. And they've always been enthusiastic about the video game culture in Japan, and I don't know, that enthusiasm has always inspired me, and I hope we bring that same kind of enthusiasm to our podcast.
Yeah, hopefully. And I think the thing about them is, like, because they used to work for a magazine, you know, they're pretty, like, well-spoken, and they know their stuff, like, a really deep history. It's very authentic. It doesn't feel like just a bunch of guys sitting around. And they have, like, insider info because they work in the industry, you know. They do get some stuff early, or they know people personally a lot of times, too. I think, again, they're a very unique source. There's no one else out there who has that knowledge or can bring that knowledge in English.
I heard they went up to, like, the number 2 video game podcast on iTunes or something. Yeah. So, I mean, congratulations to them.
I had no idea they were that popular.
I mean, they deserve it, though. I mean, you listen to the podcast, and they come every week with, like, interesting topics, and they're a great news source. I mean, and like I said, well-produced episodes, and I think they, you know, they definitely, like, colored the way I view Japanese podcasts and podcasts in general.
We've always said, like, Matt and I both aren't really into, like, kickstarting a whole lot, but that's, like, the one if they ask for money, you know, to do the show.
I've bought games that I've haven't played that much, but I know that they've localized, and, you know, just to support them, you know, and if I know they've worked on something, I'll probably pick up what they've worked on.
We met them in person before too, and just so sincere. They didn't just talk to us for like a minute, you know. We talked for 10, 15, 20, you know, felt like an old friend or something, you know.
Yeah. It's a great podcast, and I kind of hinted at this at the beginning of the episode, but there's a podcast that comes out bi-monthly on the weeks that we are not coming out.
Yeah.
And that's the A4 podcast.
We both do Fridays, right?
Yeah.
So if you want something in our off weeks to listen to, give that one a shot.
Well, we might do weekends because sometimes we're busy and we might not get the podcast out on time, but we try our best to come out that weekend.
But hopefully us telling you guys about these podcasts has kind of shown you a bit of who we are, especially if you're new to us. You can see who our influences are. We've taken a little bit of all of those things, I think, and kind of put it together into Japan 2.0. Anything else you want to add?
Thanks for listening. And if you've made the switch over to our new feed, you know, I really appreciate it. It means a lot to us. I know we have like a good community out there.
Yep.
And we can't wait to hear from you guys. So please stay in contact. You know, subscribe to us on iTunes at Japan 2.0.
That's the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You just search Japan 2.0 for all those things. They'll pull up for you. You'll get them. Matt likes to give his personal one too.
Oh, yeah. My personal Twitter is Unitabilist, UNITABLIST. I sometimes post photos of my vinyl acquisitions. Mm. So a lot of Shibuya K if you're into that kind of music.
Yep. And who's our music of this episode? Who have people been listening to so far, if they haven't guessed already?
Yeah, well, it's Chibo Mato. So, I mean, a lot of people who are familiar with Japanese music have probably come across them, especially if you're from the United States or the UK.
They're the first band we featured who, I think technically they're Americans.
Well, I think they came from Japan, and they lived in New York for a long time.
I think they're like American citizens now.
Well, I'm assuming, they've been there for so long. They opened a business. They had a restaurant for a while in New York. Oh, yeah,
that's very fitting for all the songs about food.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that made me fall in love with this group was it's probably my first Shibuya K group to ever listen to.
Me too.
And I remember my friend Eric was... He had brought this like EP, and we were listening to it on one of our trips down to the Los Angeles, and all the songs about birthday cakes and chicken and stuff.
Beef jerky.
Yeah, beef jerky. That EP was so great, and every song is a hit. And ever since then, it was I love this group, and I own almost everything they've done, even side projects and stuff like that.
Very abrasive sound. We both have, I don't know how Emily feels about them, but whenever I play them, Liz is like, really? This is what you like? Spend your hard-earned money on this, you know?
Well, they definitely have, they don't have the best singing voices.
Yeah.
And, but I think it's something that...
I think it's divisive. You love
it. Yeah, it's divisive. You love it or hate it. And it's something that's common among some Japanese artists. Sometimes... You don't have to be the best singer to be on a record. And it's one thing I like about Shibuya K.
For sure.
But some people who shouldn't be singing are definitely singing.
It makes me feel good about my bad singing voice.
Yeah. It makes you feel great at karaoke, too.
Yeah.
So the song we've been listening to is Spoon. It's off of a Stereotype A. And if you like it, you should check out some of the rest of their music.
Yeah, I like their first album very much, Viva La Lady Woman.
Viva La Woman.
Viva La Woman, yeah.
Their EP is my favorite, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So check those out. Birthday Cake, that's my favorite song.
Yeah, Birthday Cake's great.
Spoon's
great.
It's cool vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, I hope you enjoyed the show. And yeah, look forward to more from Japan 2.0. I'm Matt.
It's David.
Nice. Same peace.
See ya.